Many of the hotly contested races for the Senate this year are in states along the Mississippi River. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams is traveling down the legendary river, talking with voters about their concerns and candidates. This week he stops in the historic river cities of Iowa.
When the rain and melting snow pour down heavily from Minnesota, one of the first places the powerful waters of the Mississippi overflow is Davenport, Iowa. This is Iowa's biggest city on the Mississippi. Craig Malin is the city administrator.
Davenport is the only town on the Mississippi that faces south, so the sun is always shining on Davenport.
Davenport grew in the 1800s as a stop for fur and grain traders moving their goods from the north, and for Iowa's own farmers shipping their produce south. One of the earliest maps of this part of the river was drawn by a young man who later gained fame as a Confederate general, Robert E. Lee. Locals, such as Mayor Charlie Brook, believe the Meredith Willson Broadway play, The Music Man, was modeled on life in Davenport.
Actually, Meredith Willson is from Mason City, but he never really explained where River City was, but we like to think it's Davenport.
Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it.
No one disputes that Davenport was where a young Iowan named Bix Beiderbecke first heard jazz, reputedly played by Louis Armstrong on the riverboats down at the docks. Beiderbecke decided to make the music his life and played jazz cornet in clubs up and down the Mississippi and then around the country. Today, Davenport is Iowa's third largest city, with a population of 100,000. And with its fellow Mississippi River cities of Clinton and Dubuque, Davenport is key to any candidate's plans to win Iowa this fall. At the moment, the politics of these cities is being shaped by economic anxiety. Tom Sunderbrook was principal at a Catholic school in Davenport for 40 years.
I'm recently retired in a Catholic school, no retirement, so my wife and I were very frugal, attempted to accumulate wealth so that we could become financially independent. And now with the stock market and some of the millions of dollars that are going to these people, and we sit and watch our retirement diminish. So I'm very concerned about that.
The fear and loathing directed at Wall Street stems from generations of struggle by small family farmers, the emotional heart of the state. Out of 3 million Iowans, there are now less than 100,000 family farmers left, and their numbers are dwindling. Recent polls by the Des Moines Register showed economic anxiety is growing statewide.
One of the things that's going on in Iowa politics right now is there's a great deal of pessimism.
David Yepsen is a political writer for the Register.
In December, our poll showed 66% of Iowans thought the country was headed in the right direction. Now only 52% think it's headed in the right direction. And it's even worse when it comes to the direction the state's headed in.
Concerns over the state's economy and the stock market are evident in Dubuque, the most heavily Democratic of the river cities. It's the talk of the barbershops on Central Avenue, just up from the river. Kevin Mim, who runs a Little Clipper barbershop, spoke while giving a haircut to Ray Chickfry, who ran a service station for 36 years.
At least in my terms, and there's some of the friends that have, you know, come in the shop, and, you know, a little bit of the Senate race goes on, but really, it seems to be a lot about the farm economy, too, what's going on with a lot of the crops and stuff. And then you get a little hearsay of the stock market.
Mary Ray Bragg is covering the Senate race for the Dubuque Telegraph Herald. Sitting in her favorite diner in downtown, the Shot Tower, Mary Ray Bragg says voters are not yet paying much attention to the Senate race between three-term incumbent Tom Harkin, a Democrat, and his challenger, Greg Ganske. Ganske, a Republican, has been in Congress since 1994 and is getting strong support from the Bush White House for this race against Harkin. Mary Ray Bragg says voters remain aloof, a fact that favors Harkin.
There are very few politicians that I know of in this area who have networks that are as strong as his. There are folks that will go out and campaign for Tom Harkin who are Democrats, but they wouldn't lift a finger for anybody else.
To weaken Harkin's ties to Iowa's voters, his moderate Republican challenger, Ganske, is making the case that Harkin is too liberal for Iowa. He says that Harkin's voting record nearly matches the most liberal voting record in the chamber, that of California Democrat Barbara Boxer. Sitting in Fanaro's Bakery in Indianola, Ganske says most of Harkin's money comes from liberals in California, New York, and Florida, not from Iowans.
I think there's a reason for that. His positions have been pretty extreme. First, he voted against our being in the Gulf War. and criticized President Bush for that. And then he flipped and criticized President Bush for not completing the job. There really is about 35% of Iowans who feel very, very strongly that he should be retired to that vacation home of his down in the Bahamas.
Harkin has fought back against being labeled an extreme liberal. He ran ads over the July 4th holiday showing him reciting the Pledge of Allegiance with the words "under God." And in an interview, Harkin made the point that his seniority in the Senate, where he's chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, allows him to deliver federal dollars where the state's economy needs them the most.
Well, I think most people along the river would say, well, times are pretty tough right now, but we've seen them tougher. We're in a transition here in the state. We need to make sure that we get our fair share from the federal government in terms of infrastructure, education, health care, prescription drugs. That's why I want to get reelected.
The White House sees Iowa as a major opportunity worth a prodigious infusion of cash. President Bush narrowly lost the state in the 2000 presidential race and has visited 7 times since. But for now, the talk of Iowa is the state fair, which begins next week and includes a life-size butter sculpture of a cow. People are also talking about the frequent arrest of Iowa college football players, and then there's the debate over what image Iowa should use when its turn comes to put a logo for the state on quarters that will circulate nationwide. David Yepsen of the Des Moines Register.
There's a lot of people that want to put Grant Wood's American Gothic on there, which is a pretty good symbol of Iowa. And Grant Wood's a famous artist from Iowa. The problem is you got a lot of people in Iowa that don't want to go along with that rural heritage. They don't think it's avant-garde enough. They don't think it's trendy enough. It's too hick.
Iowa is a state with a deep respect for tradition. But in political terms, its traditions conflict. That's what makes this fall's contest so compelling. Iowans will have to choose between a long-serving Democratic incumbent who gets a nod of support even from some Republican officials for delivering dollars to the state, and a Republican moderate backed by a wartime president who wants the state to come home to its deep roots in the GOP. Juan Williams, NPR News, Davenport, Iowa.